A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. But you may remember last week that the gospel was about the prophet not being accepted in his own house. Jesus was rejected when he went back to Nazareth by the people who knew him the best. They couldn't get it into their head that this one was presenting himself as the Messiah, the hometown boy they grew up with. Huh? And the question it posed for us all was, well, what do we do? How do we go out and win over the people that are close to us? Because the Lord himself had that same experience, that it's very tough to win over people in our own families and among our own friends. That's true. But we concluded that there's a power in our authenticity by living what we're supposed to live. There's a power in our perseverance, day in and day out, year after year. And it's essential that we pray and sacrifice and fast for them and put it in the hands of God. Right? But the imperative to bring people back to God is something none of us can consider optional. No, it's part of who we are as baptized Christians, to be missionaries, to be prophets, to go out. And that's why the first reading opens today with this prophet Amos from the Old Testament. And Amos lived probably around 770 BC. And he was sent by God to go and preach in the northern kingdoms of Israel. He was from the south. And he was just an ordinary guy, farmer, shepherd, dresser of sycamore trees, as he says. He wasn't a professional. He wasn't educated. He wasn't a theologian. And he gets pushback when he goes up in the north, because he's obviously from a little bit different culture. And one of the servants of the king up there doesn't like what he's saying. He tells him to beat it. Go back and earn your bread by being a prophet down in Judah. We don't need you here. We don't want to hear your message. The king isn't happy with you preaching against him. And Amos says very simply, "I was no prophet, nor did I belong to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me out from his flock and said, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" So Amos makes it clear that he wasn't looking for this. No. But it was the word of God that came to him that compelled him to go out with no regard for himself and who he was. Without any of those advantages that you think you might have if he was somebody who was learned or educated or respected or a professional. None of that. He was an ordinary Joe. And he was supposed to go out, because the God told him to. It was part of his mission. It was part of who he was, because God chose him. And it reminds us all of that text from St. Paul later on, when he writes to the Corinthians, and he says, listen, brothers, not many of you were wealthy or born of high estate. Not many of you were learned people. But God chose the weak to confound the strong. He chose the ordinary people so that no one might boast that they did it on their own, so that everyone could see that it was just the power of God working through you. So yeah, the missionaries are ordinary people. The prophets are ordinary people. What makes them different is that God sends them out. This week starts the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. A number of us from the parish are going. And there's supposed to be 50,000 people descending on Indianapolis from all over the country. And now for about 2 months, processions have been going on from the four corners of the country to converge on Indianapolis. Eucharistic processions. And hundreds of thousands of people have participated. And we did. We took a busload down to Manhattan at the end of May and participated from the procession from St. Patrick's down to the Brooklyn Bridge. And all of that was a witness, a prophetic witness of our belief in the Eucharist as the most important part of our faith. And these 4 days in Indianapolis are going to be a reaffirmation of that for all the world. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have been impacted by it. And then the gospel picks up this theme today where Jesus sends the apostles out two by two to go out and preach and to heal people from demons and to preach this coming of the kingdom. And he takes these ordinary men, the apostles, four fishermen, one tax collector, one zealot. The zealots were kind of a terrorist party trying to overthrow the Romans. The other six apostles, we don't really know what they did for a living, but none of them were big shots. And he tells them to go out two by two. In other words, highlighting the need for us to have like-minded companions. He tells them not to take a purse or money or food or anything with them. In other words, just go simply and trust God for the things you need. Don't be overprepared and don't depend on too many supplements and aids. Trust the word of God that he's put into your heart. And then he says, preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. You know, the tendency we all have is to go and soften the message. And when we communicate with anybody about God, our temptation is to say, you know, you're a good person, I'm a good person, you know, you ought to pay a little more attention to God. No, Jesus never says anything like that. He says, go preach repentance. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. You don't have to use those exact words. But our tendency to water it down and say, I'm okay, you're okay. Nobody's converted by that. And then he says, if your message is not accepted, shake the dust of that town from your feet and move on. What's our usual reaction when we're rejected? Oh, maybe I did something wrong. Right? Maybe I was too strong in my message. Maybe if I could just come to a meeting of the minds of, you know, a version of Christianity that this person is comfortable with. Jesus says, uh-uh, move on. Preach the truth. And if they don't accept it, move on to where the Spirit is going to prepare somebody else. And so the missionary has to go out and be faithful to what Jesus wants him to do. And that's the mission that we have too, as baptized Christians. I think sometimes we don't give enough credit to the power that we represent when you're somebody who goes to adoration, when you're somebody who's got daily prayer in your life, when you're somebody who goes to Mass every week or even during the week too. Those are powerful graces that you have inside. You carry that with you when you go out into the world to bring somebody back to Christ. I think we need to trust that it's not about us, but about God and the message that He wants us to transmit. It's about putting people back on the road to God. The bishops are starting a campaign now to coincide with the Eucharistic Congress of bring one back. Bring one person back to God. I bet everybody here in this church now, if you just took a second, you could think of one person you know that you would love to see come back to God. Think about that person. Pray for that person for just a moment. You're the missionary that Jesus put in their lives. You're the apostle. What can you do for that person? Maybe you bring him back to Mass. Sometimes that's the best place to start. Not always. Sometimes they need to talk, to be heard, to be listened to. Sometimes they need to start with confession. Probably they need some help to do that. Maybe some other person needs to get plugged into a ministry or service to the poor or learn more about the faith. There are lots of different doors and windows where somebody can start to come back. They can climb through the back door. Think about how you're going to move those people and bring one person back.